All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Yud Gimel. We're going to pick up on Yud Beis on the base. Remember, again, we left off 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Va'azesim ha'tvua, va'azesim she'av yushlish. So remember, again, we're trying to figure out at what point in time do particular items become subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros. So the Brice that we're recording before said that Tvua grain as well as olives become subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros once they grow to 1/3 of their maturation. So the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, how do we know this? How do we know that it's 1/3? So the Gemara says, Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Umatu b'mishmeit Rabbi Yosef Lili, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, it's actually very interesting, Miketz Sheva Shanim b'moed, Shnas Hashmita Bechag HaSukos. So also the Pasuk says the following, that it will be at the end of 7 years, Bemoed, and its appointed time, Shnas HaShmita, Shmita year, in the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So also the Gemara says like this, the Gemara says, Shnas HaShmita Chag HaSukos, Shnas HaShmita, Mai Avidite Bechag HaSukos. Shminasi, the Pasuk reads in a strange way, because the Pasuk says at the end of 7 years, which means after the Shmita year, after the Shemitah year, b'moed, in the appointed time of the Shemitah year, in the Yom Tov of Sukkos. But I will say, by the time you're speaking about the Yom Tov of Sukkos, after the Shemitah year, that's already when? That's already year number 8. If it's year number 8, then that Shemitah is already over. So therefore, why does the Torah connect Sukkos of year 8 to the Shemitah year? What is it coming to teach me? Eloma Lacha, it's coming to teach me, Kalatua Shevia Shlish Bishvias, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, Atanoig Bat Minhag Shvias Bishminis. Oh, you know what it's coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me that Lamaisa, any grain that grew to 1/3 of its full maturation before Rosh Hashanah of year 8 has the status of Shemitah sanctity or contains Shemitah sanctity. So again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, the Gemara is saying that there is the ability for the sanctity of Shemitah to extend into year 8. How does the sanctity of Shemitah extend into year 8? Meaning extend into Sukkos? That any grain that had reached 1/3 maturity prior to Rosh Hashanah of year 8, which means it achieved 1/3 of its maturity in the Shemitah year, by definition, that is considered Shemitah produce. Take a look at Rashi. Avalom alacha. V'hachi kamakra. That's Rashi and the Daf. This is what the Pasuk is saying. Yesh lecha davar shehu shel shminis v'u asra kishvias. What the Pasuk is saying is, there is something that could be harvested in the 8th year that has the sanctity or the status of 7th year Shemitah crop. And what type of item is that? Ve'izo usu. What is that? Tvua Shivyishlish. It refers to grain that matured to 1/3 of its full growth. So we'll say again. So therefore, going back to the pasuk, the pasuk means like this: Mikayz Shevashan. Even when the Shemitah year is over, B'moed Shnas HaShemitah B'Chag HaSukos. The way the Gemara is interpreting it is there is the ability to extend the Shemitah into the Sukkos of the 8th year. When does Shemitah extend into Sukkos of the 8th year? Concerning any grain that grew to 1/3 of its maturation prior to Rosh Hashanah on year 8, i.e. during the Shemitah year, that produce is treated with Shemitah sanctity. So the Gemara says the following. Amar li Rabbi Zeila Ravasi, Now, how do you know that that is referring to grain that matured to one third of its full maturity? Maybe at the end of the day, maybe we're talking about grain that did not mature at all. So now the Rebbe Zera says, one second, maybe there's something much simpler. Maybe what the Pasuk is saying is like this. We're not talking about grain that matured or grain that didn't mature. Rather, what are we talking about? Perhaps the Torah is telling me that Lemaisa, Shemitah extends to Sukkis of year 8. Maybe that the Pasuk is saying, that it's Gzeres HaKosev, that even though normally we would assume Shemitah ends on Rosh Hashanah, here in this particular circumstance, the Torah is telling us that Shemitah extends until Chag HaSukkos, and it has nothing to do with how much produce has matured or hasn't matured, to which the Gemara says, lo. Lo, Sakadai, that can't be true. They first of all, look at Rashi. V'dumon lo ayol klal, v'afidu lo hischilu lehispashal b'shviyas kam rachmara, mitzas shviyas limoshech yisura ad chag ha-sukos milach rosh v'liktzor. And perhaps literally the Torah is telling me that no, we're not talking about if the grain did mature, the grain didn't mature. Even if there was no grain that matured, the Torah is simply telling me that the restrictions of the Shemitah year extend to Sukkis of year 8, to which the Gemara says, no. Lo sakadai tchad d'chsiv, v'chag ha'osif b'tzeis ha'shana. So the Gemara says it can't be. You know why? Because the Pasuk, when talking about Sukkis, calls it the Chag HaAsif B'tzeis HaShana. The Yom Tov of Asif, we'll see what Asif means in just a moment, at the end of the year. So the Gemara says, my Asif, what does Asif mean? Ilema Chag HaBob is Manasifa. If you want to say that, perhaps Asif means what? It means Asif. Asif means what? Gathering. But I will say, remember, Sukkis is called Chag HaAsif. Why? Because at the end of the day, remember, if you're in an agricultural society, you would leave out your crops throughout the summer to dry out, and you would bring everything into your storehouse already come Sukkis time. So perhaps you'll tell me, Chag HaAsif B'tzeis HaShana simply means what? The Yom Tov of where you bring everything in from the field. The Gemara says, that can't be. Why? HaKsiv B'aspicha Migarncha Miyukvecha. The Torah already solidifies that identity of Sukkis as being a Yom Asif, a day of gathering, already earlier elsewhere in the Torah. Ela my Asif, so what does Asif mean? Asif means Katsir. We'll say, interesting, the Gemara understands that Asif means harvest. Means harvest. Then I will say, I'll understand what this means in just a moment. Look at Rashi. Ela hachi kamar Asif, my Asif Katsir, v'hachi kamar. That Sukkis is the Yom Tov, that you will go ahead and harvest that which you have in the field. Now, remember, anything that what we're interpreting now is that Asif also means the harvest. So now what you're telling me is anything that you're harvesting during Sukkis must have grown when? The prior year. Because again, remember, Sukkis is only 15 days into the new year. So it must have grown in the previous year, Rashi says. I'm sorry. It's not from the present year. It's from the previous year. And the Torah is teaching us over here that anything that you harvest on Sukkis really is characterized by the identity of the previous year. So the Gemara's dashing is like this. The Torah says about Sukkis, the Chag HaAsif B'tzeis HaShana. Now remember, now we know some two things that are interesting. Number one, that's calling it Asif. Asif can't mean gathering because again, we've already called Sukkis the Yom Tov of gathering. We don't need to repeat that. Furthermore, how else does it refer to Sukkis? B'tzeis HaShana, at the close of the year. Now, why would the Torah refer to Yom Tov Sukkis as Yom Tov at the close of the year? Bless you. If anything, what? Sukkis is a Yom Tov when? At the beginning of the year. So therefore, the Gemara understands the following. Asif doesn't mean gathering. Asif means what? Asif means to harvest. So therefore, the Torah is saying, V'chaga Asif, anything that you harvest at the time of Sukkis is what? B'tzeis HaShana is characterized or is attributed to what? To the previous year. Now, both say, this is true, by the way. We're talking about Shemitah over here, but the truth is, it's true. We saw yesterday with the schedule of tithing. Depending on what year you are attributed to determines your tithing schedule as well. So the idea is that Chazal understood, based on this pasuk, that anything that has ready for harvesting at Sukkot has already reached one third of its maturity. And again, at that point in time, that growth is attributed to the previous year. So if the previous year is a Shemitah year, therefore, by definition, even though you're harvesting it on year 8, Lemaisa still has Shemitah sanctity. Bikimlu Rabbanon, and the rabbis established, Tichol Tevua Shenik Tzera Bechad, Biyadua Sheviya Shlish Tetnei Rosh Hashanah. But we know, again, the rabbis understood that any wheat that is ready for harvest at the time of Sukkot, by definition, must have already attained one third of its maturity prior to Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, if it's ready for harvest, it means that it's usable. For it to be usable, it must have attained at least one third of its maturity prior to Rosh Hashanah. Vikakari Levitzei Sashanah. And what does the Torah call Sukkot in this context? It calls it the close of the previous year. So therefore, you see two things, Rav Osai. You see, if it's ready to be harvested on Sukkot, it must have attained at least one third of its maturity prior to Sukkot, and in addition to that, the Torah calls the harvesting of Sukkot what? B'tseis Hashana, and attributes those growths to the previous year. So Osai, so now what we have over here, are essentially two different approaches to really getting to the same idea. We're trying to figure out over here what we're trying to figure out is how we know that crops that attain one third of their maturity are considered to be finished for Trumos and Maaser purposes. So now the way we're proving that is from the produce that goes from year 7 into year 8. And the Gemara is just quoting two different psukim to back up that idea. At the end of the day, what the Gemara establishes is that anything you're going to harvest at Sukkot time has already achieved one third of its maturation prior to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you see that what? That it's attributed to the previous year, to the Shemitah year, and therefore you see at the time that a crop. What the Gemara is saying is the fact that it achieves the sanctity of the Shemitah year. And after having only grown one third of its full growth, indicates to us that growth of one third is considered to be significant by a plant or by a crop, and therefore, by definition, that would make it chayiv in trumas and maasros as well. So the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera." So Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to Rabbi Zera the following idea: "V'kimlu l'rabbanan bein shlish l'pachos mishlish." Did the rabbis, were they really able to discern if a plant grew a third or a little bit less than a third? And I will say this whole discussion is predicated on the idea that the rabbis were able to go ahead and establish that the crop actually grew a third before Rosh Hashanah. So what Rabbi Yirmiyahu is asking is a more fundamental question. Do the rabbis really know such specific information like that? So I'm really listening to this. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu responds, Lav amin alecha, have I not told you? Lo safik nafshecha lebar mehilchasa. Stop taking your heart, your soul, out of the halacha. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lo safik nafshecha bar mehilchasa lefak feik b'shir chachamim. Stop doubting the shiurim of the rabbis. How many times have I told you? Stop doubting the shiurim of the rabbis. Right, boy, listen to this. Because kol midos chachamim kim. Because Rabbi say again, yes, the chazal were actually very proficient in measures. And that's why, again, many of the measures we have are exceptionally specific. For example, the Gemara says, Ba'arboim sa'ah hu tovel. Rabbi say, so for example, a mikvah has to be 40 sa'ah, exactly 40 sa'ah. Why 40 sa'ah? Because that's the amount of water that Chazal established a person could be able to immerse their entire body in at once. Remember the whole idea of a mikvah, you can't dunk different parts of your body at different times. The whole body must be immersed at once. 40 sa'ah is the amount that Chazal established that a person could get their whole body covered by water. So what did they say? Ba'arboim sa'ah tovel. Ba'arboim sa'ah chasar kurtav. But yet what? If that mikvah is missing a kurtav is a small, tiny measurement. So if it has 40 sa'ah, it's a kosher mikvah. If it's less than a kurtav, it's not a kosher mikvah. So this point over here that he's trying to prove is that l'maisa, again, you see that the chachamim are very specific with their measures, which knew that they knew that what they were talking about was shiurim. For example, he goes on, kibetza, mitami tumasoch. If you have a food item, so food has the ability to go ahead and convey tumah. Rashi says, "Kibetsa ochlim v'kimlu v'rabbanan she'in beis havliya machzik lo pachos v'lo yoser mibeitzas tarnegoles uksib tumas ochlim mikol ochel asher yachel So it has to, for tumah when it comes to food, it has to be the amount of food that you can go in and swallow at once. So the Chazal assumed that that shear is an egg, which again is probably smaller than what we have today as an egg. That's the amount that a person could go ahead and swallow at once. Therefore, again, if the food is the size of an egg, then it's subject to the laws of tumah. However, chaser shumshum, if it's even missing a sesame seed amount, a tiny insignificant amount, then what? It is not subject to the laws of tumah sochlin. So what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, the rabbis were explicitly meticulous with shiurim, which means that they knew exactly how to gauge these amounts, even to the smallest degree. Shlosha al shlosha metame madras. Similarly, again, if you have a piece, we actually saw this earlier in our gemara, not in our shana thing in Yuma, we had it. Psachim, we had it. So we'll say the minimum shear for a piece of cloth, a garment, to be mekabel toma is 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths. Shlosha al shlosha, chaser nima achos. Excuse me, shlosha al shlosha mitami medras. So we'll say again, if you have a piece of cloth that is 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths, then it's mitami tumas medras. Tumas medras means that if somebody whose tummy rests against something, supports their weight against it, the item becomes tummy as well. Yet, shlosha al shlosha chaser nima achos. But if it's 3 by 3, but it's missing one thread, eino metame medras. So what do you see from here? Then it's not metame tumas medras. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, lemaisa, that's what? That the chachamim were absolutely meticulous in their shiurim. And therefore what? And therefore, yes, when Chazal said that anything that is ready to be harvested on Sukkot must have attained one third of its maturity prior to Sukkot, they absolutely knew what they were talking about, and they knew how to measure that in the crops as well, which I will say isn't really all that surprising. You would assume that in general, in the agricultural society, people become very in tune with these things. Okay? In any event, Hadar Am Rav Yirmiyah Lav Milsi. So I will say, Rav Yirmiyah retracted his question. Remember again, Rav Yirmiyah was the one who said, come on, do the rabbis really know the difference between one third of the growth and not one third of the growth? So Rabbi Zera said, how many times have I had this conversation with you? Rav Yirmiyah said, you're right. I'm sorry, and retracted the question. So the Gemara says, why? Why did he retract? The Amri, La Milsu the Amri, the Bo'u Minei Chavraya Mirav Kahana. Because he said, after all, I heard that Rav Kahana's friends inquired of him, Omer, about the following situation. Omer Shekrivu Yisrael B'chnisasin La'aretz Mehechan Hekrivu. I will say, it's actually very interesting. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, so the truth is, they went ahead and they offered up a Karban HaOmer. Karban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach and it's brought with barley. Where did the barley come from? Where did the barley come from? So the Gemara says, "In Tomar, da'ayul biyad nachri." So remember again, there are non-Jews living, there are Gentile nations living in the land. So maybe you'll say, okay, they got the barley from a non-Jew. So Rashi says, "Da'ayul biyad nachri, shenispashal atchlo balar." So if you want to tell me again, they came in and they bought, or they took, finished barley from a Gentile. That can't be why. That can't be why, because the Torah says that you must offer the Omer Kitzir Chem from that which you harvest. And the idea is it's not just that you harvest, but what? It has to be yours. Now, not yours, because remember, the Karban HaOmer is a carbon seaboard. It's a communal offering, but it's saying is it has to be Jewish owned. It has to be Jewish owned. So therefore, again, it can't be that they just simply took the barley from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, "Mimai dak." So the Gemara says, "Well, 1 second, mimai dak rivu."
In other words, the fact that they took over the land is now theirs, but you're saying Kitzir Chem has a
no, because it grew, it matured underneath the guy. It's mature. So the fact is, it's not mine. I didn't grow it.
In other words, if I purchased it while it's still in the ground, it's not considered.
Well, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, 1 second, how do we know that they offered the Karban HaOmer? Dilma lo akrivu. Maybe they didn't offer it at all. Meaning, what you're presupposing they offered the Karban HaOmer, maybe they just didn't offer the Karban HaOmer. Lo sakadaitcha dichsiv, because what does the Pasuk say? Vayochlu, the Pasuk in Yeshua says, Vayochlu me'avor ha'aretz, mimacharas ha'pesach, matzos v'kalui be'etzim bayomazeh. So the Pasuk says that they ate, once they entered into the land, on the second day of Pesach. So the Torah Dafka begins to say that they ate from their matzah as well as the kalui. The kalui refers to ultimately, again, those crops that they had in the land. When they begin to eat it? On the second day of Pesach. Now, why does the Navi make mention that they began to eat the crops on the second day of Pesach? Mimacharas ha-Pesach ochel teaches you they only began to eat of the crops on the second day of Pesach. Meikara lo ochel. But they did not eat before the second day of Pesach. Now, why would they have not eaten on the second day of Pesach? They would not have eaten on the second day of Pesach, before the second day of Pesach, because it was Chadash. Because the Rebbe said the halacha is that you are not supposed to eat of new grains that grew from last Pesach until you offer up the Karban Omer. So the fact that the Navi goes out of his way to say that they only began to eat from the grain on the second day of Pesach indicates to us that they in fact did offer up the Karban Omer. So the Gemara says, So it's clear that they first offered up the Karban Omer and only then did they eat. So now we have to ask again, From where did they go ahead and get the carbon omer? Where did they get the barley from? So again, remember, going back, the idea that they could have just taken it from a non-Jew, water from a non-Jew, does not satisfy the Gemara, because the Gemara feels that in order for the carbon omer to be appropriate, it has to be grain that was grown by a Jew. So if it wasn't grown by a Jew, even if he subsequently purchased it from a Gentile, that wouldn't satisfy the obligation. So where did the carbon omer come from? So Amar Lahen, so he said, remember again, Rabbi said, this was a conversation between Rav Kahana and his friends. So his friends asked him this question. Rav Kahana now responds, Amar Lahen, Kol Shelo Hevi Shlish Biyad Nochri. Because what was the answer? The answer is that they apparently either purchased or took over land, when they came into Eretz Kinan. And what happened? That land contained barley that did not yet mature a third. And what happened? He called, and therefore, again, they took it over, and it matured a third under their ownership. Because it matured a third under their ownership, it was therefore called what? It was therefore called Jewish-owned barley, and therefore was usable for the Karban Omer. Amar Lahen, Rav Kahana responds, Kol Shelo Hevi Shlish Biyad Nochri. So again, what's the case? The case is that the barley did not go ahead and grow a third underneath while it was owned by a non-Jew. It grew a third while it was owned by a Jew, and therefore that's considered to be Jewish barley. So look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, the Dilma Ayo Velo Kamlehu. But maybe, so I said back to Rav Kahana, well, maybe it did grow a third, but the people who entered in just were not proficient in assessing the growth of the plant. Ela Kimlehu. Rather, you must say that the Jews who came into Eretz Yisrael were proficient. They knew how to tell the difference between barley that had grown one third and barley that hadn't grown one third. Hachanami kimluhu. So too over here, when it comes to the rabbis establishing about produce that grew one third before Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the day, they're proficient. So the point is to both sides that Rabbi Zeira originally asked this question. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question. Rabbi Zeira answers it by bringing you a whole bunch of different examples. A very specific shiurim that Chazal were makbid on. Then Rabbi Yirmi himself says, you're right, you know what, I take back the question. But not Rabbi Zera because of what you said, because I remember another exchange between Rav Kahana and his friends. Rav Kahana essentially said the same thing, that when the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were able to go ahead and offer the Karban Omer from barley that they owned before it was one-third mature. And because it matured to a third underneath their ownership, it was usable for the Karban Omer, which indicates to us what? That the people were able to discern the difference between one-third grown barley and less than one-third grown barley, which shows you that, in fact, again, Chazal did understand this shiurim. The Dilma lo ayel klal. Maybe when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the barley had not grown at all. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe the barley had not grown at all, and therefore, again, they were able to see there was nothing there. And then again, when they came into the land, the barley began to grow. So it was clearly grown under Jewish ownership. So the Gemara says, Avalhechad the ayel revia. Bein shlish lefachos mishlish lo kimlehu. But maybe people really can't tell the difference between a crop that's a quarter grown or a crop that's a third grown. That's too specific for a person to be able to go ahead and tell the difference between. The Gemara says, lo, sagadait chodichsev, it can't be one. The ha'am alumina yardin be'esra lechodesh. Because they're both saying, when did the Jewish people enter into Eretz Yisrael? On the 10th of Nisan. And when is the Karban Omer offered up? On the 16th of Nisan. It's impossible to say that there was no barley growing on the 10th of Nisan, and yet what? Usable barley on the 16th. So the Gemara says, if you want to say again that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was no barley at all in the ground, V'chamish yomim mikamalyo. Could it be that, again, it's not really even 6 days. It's really 5 complete days, because usually you have to have harvested on the night of the 6th. Could it be that in 5 days, again, crop comes in? Elamai de'ayo riva odanka. Akat, you see, rather, what must have happened? When they came into the land, so the crop had grown, riva rabosai is a fourth, or danka is a sixth. And the idea is what? There must have been some growth, but they recognized again that it was not yet one third of the growth. And therefore, again, when they took ownership over the land, the produce, the barley grew to a third. Therefore, it matured underneath Jewish ownership, which made it usable for the Karban HaOmer. So Mar says, Akati bechamisha yomi mi kamalya. But let's accept this wrong. But let's say again, when they come in on the 10th of Nisan, it's 1/6 grown. Is it possible that there's such a rapid state of crop maturation that it goes on the 10th of Nisan to 1/6 grown, and by the 16th of Nisan to be 1/3 grown? I mean, it's a very fast pace of maturation. Is that possible? To which the Gemara says, yeah, elama is the cholameimar. Listen to this. It is possible. You know why? What does the Torah say? Eretz tzvi. I said, the pasuk in Daniel. The Navi calls Eretz Yisrael the land of the tzvi. The land of the tzvi. Now, why is the Torah called Eretz the land of the tzvi? Hachanami Eretz tzvi. Look at Rashi just a moment. Eretz tzvi. Matzvi. Kal beraglav mikol achayos. I will say, just like the deer is considered to be the fastest and swiftest of all the animals. Af Eretz Yisrael, kala levashal peroseha mikol ha'aratzos. So to what? Eretz Yisrael is considered to be agriculturally swift in the way that it goes ahead and quickly produces all of its crops. That's part of the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. So it's possible that even when they came in on the 10th, if the produce was only what? Was only just 1/6 done. Yes, it is possible that in the course of 5 days, miraculously, there was an accelerated growth of the produce to the point that it was now 1/3 complete and able to use for the Karban HaOmer. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Maskif la Rabbi Chanina. So we'll say now, Rabbi Chanina raised the cash. So we'll say what we've established at this point in time is that Lemaisa, for grain as well as for olives, so they are considered to be complete for tithing purposes, when they have reached one third of their growth. So that's what we've established, and we've established it now from a couple of different sources. And we've also established that the rabbis knew what they were talking about in these cases of specific shiurim. Fine. Now, Rabbi Chanina raises a kasha. So, maskef Rabbi Chanina, umi matzis amr. So, Rabbi Chanina is really asking on the fundamental idea that one third of growth determines the year. Now, remember again, let me say it actually a little bit differently. What we're actually seeing over here is that when grain attains one third of its growth, the year in which it attains one third of its growth, that is the year that determines its tithing obligations or determines its tithing identity. So if it attains one third of a growth in a Shemitah year, it's considered to be Shemitah produce. If it attains one third of growth, you know, in years 3 and 6, it's subject to Meiser Ani, not Meiser Sheni. Whenever it attains one third of growth, that's when it's considered to be a fully viable crop, and that's when its identity is forged. So asks Rabbi Chanina, Umi Matis Amrit, the high Osif Katsiru. So we'll say now Rabbi Chanina goes back and asks on our pasuk on the top of Yud Gimel. So the Torah said the Chaga Osif Pitzeis Hashana. And remember again, the Gimel wanted to interpret that. What does Osif mean? Asif means cut ktsir, right? Asif means harvest. That when you go ahead and you harvest, and the harvesting that's done in Sukkis, betseis hashana, is attributed to what? To the previous year. So Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina says, is that true that asif means katsir? V'haksiv ay, but the pasuk says, v'aspicha b'gamigarcha mikvecha. The pasuk says, when speaking about the Yom Tov of Sukkis, Chagasukos Tasalachos Shivas. I mean, you'll make Chagasukos for yourself for 7 days. But Aspecha, when you gather, Migarncha Miyikvecha, when you will gather from your threshing floor and from your wine press. V'amarmar, what do we learn from that pasuk? V'psolas Goren V'yekif HaKosuv Medaber. Now, what is the pasuk talking about? That pasuk is actually teaching me that what? That pasuk is teaching me that Lemaisa, you can make your sukkah out of Orschach, out of P'solas Goren V'yekif. Out of things that are on the threshing floor, i.e. things that grow from the ground, but are not mekabel tumah. So Bosai says, the Gemara, what do you see from here? That aspecha means to gather. It doesn't, how can you see aspecha, asif, means to go ahead and harvest? That's not what it means. It means to gather. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Hamil Sahavi Biadon, Va'asir Rabbi Chanina Shada Bein Harga. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Zera says, you know, we were doing so well. Hamil Sahavi Biadon means we were so happy. We finally had an answer. The drasha was good. And comes up Rabbi Chanina Shada Bein Harga. Literally means he took an axe to it. He just destroyed everything we established over the last Amud. Ella Minalan. So we'll say, now we go back to the drawing board. So where, in fact, do we know this idea? Do we know this idea? That when produce goes ahead and reaches one third of its full maturity, that its identity is determined by the year in which it achieves one third of its maturity. Kidisanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Kidisanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says, the asisa esat tvua l'shaloshan. So we'll say the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and have enough. Literally, your land will produce enough grain for 3 years. So we'll say, again, remember, this is talking about the Shemitah year. So by the Shemitah year, remember, in year number seven, the Torah gives us the bracha that your fields will produce enough grain for 3 years. What 3 years? Year seven, because again, seven is the year in which you're growing it. Eight, which is the Shemitah year. But remember, again, you're not planting during Shemitah year either. So you need at least enough produce to hold you over at least for the beginning of year number nine. So the Torah says, your fields will make you enough grain for 3 years. So it says the Gemara, Amud Beis, I'll take me the shalosh, elo lishlish. So rather, says the Gemara, it's very interesting. Don't read the pasuk as va'asises ha'tvua lishalosh shanim. Rather, what? How do you read it? Va'asises ha'tvua lishlish hashanim. When is the tvua considered to be made? When is the tvua considered to be complete? When it reaches one third of its maturity. So the Gemara says, that's very nice, except v'ha miboile l'gufei. There's only one problem, Rabbi Osai, is that it's not like that pasuk is extraneous or extra that you could start making this drasha. That pasuk is absolutely necessary for what purpose? That pasuk teaches me what? That pasuk teaches me this essence of this idea, that meaning the bracha is that year number seven will have a bountiful produce and will give me 3 years of grain. So remember, Rabbi Osai, in order to make a drasha that does not conform to the basic meaning of the pasuk, it means that the basic meaning of the verse must be taught to me elsewhere. But if the basic meaning of the verse is not taught elsewhere, then you can't start interpreting the drasha for more removed ideas. It has to teach you the basic pshuto shel mikra. So again, what the Gemara is saying over here is very nice that you're changing the word shalosh to shlish, except I need this pasuk because this pasuk teaches me the bracha that year number seven yields 3 years of produce, 3 years of crop. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Ksiv krachrina. There is another pasuk. What's the other pasuk? Uziratim es hashana hashminis, va'achaltim es hatvua yoshan, ad hashana hatashiyas. Because also, what does the pasuk say? You shall go ahead and sow your field on the eighth year, and you will eat from the old grain until the ninth year. Ad bot vasa. So what does the pasuk say? Again, in year number eight, which is the post Shemitah year, you'll go ahead and you'll sow your field. But what will you eat until the crop of the eighth year comes in? The crop of the eighth year may not become really available for consumption until year number nine. So what will you eat? You will eat the tvua yasha. You will eat the old wheat. The old wheat refers to what? Refers to wheat of year number seven. So we'll say here you have another pasuk that does teach you that what? That the crop of year number seven is enough to sustain you on years seven, eight, and nine, at least until the beginning of year nine produce comes in. So because I have a pasuk that already teaches me, therefore what? That gives me the flexibility to say, Va'asises ha'tvua l'shalosh shanim does not need to tell me that the ground's going to create enough crop for 3 years. Rather, what does it teach me? Va'asises ha'tvua l'shlish ha'shanim. That as soon as the grain has reached one third of its maturity, it is considered to be complete. And whichever year in which grain reaches one third maturity is the year in which the grain's identity is solidified. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan Hasam, we learned elsewhere. Ha'orez, so I will say now we're going to a same general theme, but a little bit of a different application. So we have another Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ha'orez, orez is rice. Dochan usually is translated as millet. Pirugin is poppy, shumshumin sesame. So we'll say, now the shayla is, we're trying to figure out with these, now Rashi points out, ha'orez adochen, mine kitnios. This is what we call the kitnios family. These are all kitnios items. Legumes type family. Although kitnios, the truth is, is a much broader statement than just legumes, but just called kitnios. So now we'll say, the shayla is, when do these items, again, we're trying to figure out at what point in time to, let me say differently, when is the identity of these items established? We're calling it now the calendrical identity. When we say calendrical identity, remember, what does that have ramifications for? Right? Meiser and Shemitah. So at what point in time, meaning at what point is the calendrical identity of these items established? So the Gemara says, She'eshrishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, mis'asun l'sha'avar. If they take root before Rosh Hashanah, then they are counted as, or they are given the identity of the previous year. Umutarin b'shvi'ah. So we'll say, what the Gemara is assuming, for example, is let's say again, this coming year, let's say the coming year is the Shemitah year, last year is not the Shemitah year. So if they took root prior to the Shemitah year, prior to Rosh Hashanah, they are considered to be, we'll call it like year six produce, however, v'imlav, but if they went ahead and took root on the Shemitah year, after Rosh Hashanah, then they're considered like Shemitah produce, umis ashrin l'shana haba. So we'll say again, said, what is the Gemara saying? When is the identity of these kitnios items established? When they take root. So if they take root before Rosh Hashanah, they're attributed to the previous year. If they take root after Rosh Hashanah, they're attributed to the present year.
So they also have to be planted at least 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? Is this two conditions? They were planted more than 30 days before and they took root?
I'm guessing that all the previous conditions that we said for pre-Shemitah planting would apply here as well. I would assume that. So the Gemara says like this. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Miss Ashen L'Shavar. B'masros shana shava. So we'll say if it takes root for the previous year, then again, it has the identity of the previous year. For Meiser, im shnia Meiser sheni. So for example, if it was a year two, then it's subject to Meiser sheni. V'im shlishis Meiser ani. And again, and if it's a third year of the Shemitah cycle, then it's Meiser ani. U'mutarim b'shvias. Im hishrishu erev shvias lefnei Rosh Hashanah. So again, both say, either way, the Gemara is not locking itself into what number year it is, but the point is, if it goes in, it takes root prior to Rosh Hashanah, then it has the identity of the previous year. Takes root after Rosh Hashanah, has the identity of the present year. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbanon. So the Rabbi says the following. Now let's analyze this. The Rabbi said the following. Ilan basar chanata, tvua bezesim basar shlish, yerek basar lekita. So we'll say, here's what we know. The identity of different items is determined at different times. So for example, for a tree, when is its tithing identity established? At the time that it blossoms, at the time that the fruits begin to bud, begins to blossom, that's when the identity of the tree is locked in. For let's say grain and olives, what did we establish? Basar shlish. When they reach one third of their growth maturation, that's when their identity is locked in for tithing purposes. Vegetables, when is the identity of vegetables locked in? At the time that they are picked. Time when they're actually picked. Hani kaman shadin rabbanan. But Rabbi said, for these kitnios, so what category do they fit in? Because again, Rabbi said, what did we just say by kitnios? When is their identity locked in? When they take root. So what are they like? They're not like fruit trees. They're not like vegetables. And they're not like grain. So are they just their own separate independent category? So the Gemara says, Hada Amar Rabbi explained, Mitoch she'asuyin perachin perachin, azli rabbanan basar ashrasha. So this is very interesting. I'm both saying. So prachin literally means they're crumbled at different intervals. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mitoch she'asuyin perachin perachin, mitoch she'gronan asuyin ma'at ma'at. I'm both saying, here's what's interesting about these kidneys items. She'ein nilaktin ke'echad. They're not harvested at once. Ela hayom loktin, o mefarchin ma'at, u lemachar ma'at, v'nimtza chadash v'yashan mu'uravin yachad. Here's the issue. The issue is that these kitnios are not harvested at once. Rather, what did people often do? They harvested a little bit at a time. So the problem is, if you establish their identity by when they are harvested, you're going to have a problem. Why? Because that means from the same crop, some will be considered to be year two produce, some will be considered to be year three produce, and very often I will say what would happen is, You can end them having them piled together. And if they're piled together, you're going to run into another issue, which is what? You may not tithe, remember, from produce of one calendrical year for another calendrical year. Therefore, again, because of that, and the Rashi also points out, if you remember, Trumos and Maestros of Yerek and Kitnios, of vegetables and legumes is Dirabanan. And therefore, the rabbis have the ability to establish the tithing timing, or the timing of the tithing, according to what they see fit. So therefore, Chazal said like this, if we go ahead, we would be, now normally what we would say in a vacuum, is when would the identity, the tithing identity of legumes, of kitnios, be established? When? When they're picked, because they're in the vegetable family. So we would assume normally again that you would just tie them when they were, you would solidify the tithing identity at the time that they're picked. The problem is what? They're picked at all different times. Therefore, in order to establish just a common denominator within the kitnios family, we say that the tithing identity is established when? At the time they take root. Because even though they're picked at different times, the produce is sown at the same time. It's planted at the same time. So therefore, the assumption is it takes root at the same time. And therefore, the tithing identity is locked in when it takes root. So the Gemara says,
how do you know when it takes root?
They must have known after a certain amount of time, however long it took. They knew how long it took. We've already established. You asked such a question. How many times? So they knew. They knew agriculturally. They knew at what time. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Abai says, one second. The Yitzpor grono l'socho, the nimtza termin achadash shebo, ala chadash shebo, umin hayashon shebo, ala yashon shebo. So Abai says, I don't understand. What's the big deal? Why don't you just go ahead, take all of the kidneys, take all of this item that you have gone ahead and harvested, dump it into a pile. Now, what do you have in that pile of Osai? You have some new produce, some old produce. Mm-hmm. Remember, again, it's possible that some of it was picked last year, some of it was picked this year. So Abaye says, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and pile everything together on the threshing floor. It's all mixed together. And whatever you separate out for tithing purposes, you assume that what? Contains some of the old produce, some of the new produce, and in essence, you're tithing it correctly. Meaning, both said the whole chat that we were concerned about was if you go after when it's harvested, so then lemaisa, again, what's going to happen? Some of it is going to be new this year, some of it's going to be last year, you're going to run into a problem of tithing it one on the other. Abai says, it's not such a big deal. Just go ahead and pile it all together, remove from the pile some of the produce for tithing purposes, and mixed into what you remove is what? Some old stuff, some new stuff, and you've tithed everything. So the Gemara says, Milo Tanya, have we not learned? Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur Omer Mishum Rav Shimon Shizuri. The Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur sitting Rav Shimon Shizuri. Pula Mitzri. So we'll say Pula Mitzri was this Egyptian bean. Shezaro Lezaro, that you planted for consumption. Miktsaso Hishesh at the end of Rosh Hashanah. Miktsaso Hishesh at the end of Rosh Hashanah. So part of it took root before Rosh Hashanah. Part of it took root after Rosh Hashanah. Aim Tarmen Uma Asrin Mizeh Alzeh. You cannot tithe the pre-Rosh Hashanah produce on the post-Rosh Hashanah produce. Why? Levi Shein Terminum Ma'asrin Lo Min HaChadosh Al HaYashon VeLo Min HaYashon Al HaChadosh. Because you can't claim what Rabbah said. You can't tithe old produce on new produce and new produce on old produce. So what do you do? Keitzeru Oseh Tzober Grono L'Socho. You take all of the produce, you dump it in the middle of the threshing floor. And what happens? It's all mixed together. So again, the Gemara tells you what you can do. Even though it's all taken root at different times, combine all of it together on the threshing floor and what? And just simply take. And we'll say the assumption is that everything is mixed together. So let's say when I take a handful of those beans out, the assumption is what's in that handful? Some of the old produce, some of the new produce. So the new produce is rectified with the new beans. The old produce is rectified with the old beans. And Shalom Yisrael. So we'll say we'll stop over here for today. But again, remember, we're leaving off a little bit mid-thought. So remember again what we're trying to prove over here. We're focusing on this idea of now talking about when is it that these legumes becomes, when is their identity solidified? So we know again, the identity of fruit trees becomes solidified when the fruit begins to bud. We know when it comes to grain, one third of its maturation. We know vegetables when they're picked. As much as it would have been natural to put kitnios in the vegetable category, what's the issue with kitnios? It's not all picked at the same time. Because it's not all picked at the same time, that's where you run into an issue. Therefore, again, we make it at the time when they take root, because the assumption is that it's all at the same time. To which the Gemara now is just questioning that, even if it's picked at the same time, it's still okay. All you need to do is what? As long as you're not eating from anything at different intervals, even if it's picked at different times, just put everything together in one big pile. And again, yes, it's a mixture of old produce, new produce, but that's okay. Because when you tithe it, what's going to happen? You're going to take out a handful of mixed produce. There's going to be some new stuff, some old stuff, but it turns out everything is tithe. So we'll pick up with that in Eretz Hashem tomorrow.
So which year does it apply to?
Both years. It's a mixture. That's the point. It has old produce and new produce on it.
Do you take double maaser?
No. You're taking one maaser for that entire grouping.
Is it going to be Shemitah? Is it going to be the year after?
Take 2 years.
One applies to the year before.
Yes. Oh, good. We're going to talk about that. Correct. We'll talk about that. Then how do you adjust them? How do you, let's say, year one year was maaser and 1 year was maaser Shani. We're going to talk about that.
No, the Gemara has a similar conversation, but a little more aggressive when they ask how the Chachamim know how to give these exemptions.